This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
Oh Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Lord God, we bow before you this day, just worshiping you, giving you all honor and glory and praise, because you are a good God. God, we praise you for the ways you are blessing and restoring and redeeming, Lord God. We praise you for the ways you are healing the land even. God, we praise you for the ways you are at work in your world and the ways you call us to be at work with you. God, help us this day to hear the call that you have on each and every one of our lives to be servants of the Most High God, to be servants leaders in our world, oh God. God, we pray that you forgive us for the ways that we have fallen short of being called children of God, for the countless times that we have sinned and come short of your glory. Forgive us, oh God, and continue to create in us clean hearts. Continue to create us into the vessels that you would have us to be. Vessels that share your love, vessels that share your joy, vessels that share your peace, vessels that pursue your justice in this world. Lord God, bless us so that we might be blessings to others. Guide our feet while we run this race, for we don't want to run in vain. Help us, Lord God, to truly be your disciples, those who walk with you and those who walk like you. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
From 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Awesome God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day. We give you thanks for the call on our lives. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to each and every one of us now so that we might know your will and your purpose for our lives. I pray that our hearts and minds are open to receive a word from you, to receive a call from you. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. I confess, I am a person who loves her snooze button. So I understand how Samuel felt early in the morning. The text says that the lamp of God had not gone out. In those days, they burned a lamp in the temple throughout the night. So if the lamp had not gone out, it is still very early in the morning. I am a person who loves her snooze button. Roommates and housemates have hated the fact that I will set an early alarm just to make sure that I have time to push snooze for 20 minutes or 40 minutes or however many minutes, because that's my business. And before you try to help me, please know that I have tried all the tricks. I have tried placing my phone across the room, placing my phone in another room, not using my phone as an alarm at all. I have tried setting the stove timer so that I have to get up, walk across the house into the kitchen, thinking surely if I walk that far, I won't get back in bed. Wrong. Ain't none of that worked for me. I am a snoozer. So I can relate to young Samuel walking across the temple, still half asleep, trying to get those last good minutes before he has to get up and get to work. Probably still trying to snooze, answering the voice that he thought was Eli's. Samuel and I probably aren't the only ones who have failed to hear God's voice clearly while we spiritually snooze. I imagine Samuel was sleep, snoring sleep, drooling sleep. But you and I are sometimes wide awake, but spiritually asleep, snoozing when God wants to use us. Like Samuel, you and I might need some help hearing the voice of God clearly. The text tells us that visions of God were rare in Samuel's time, so he really had no reference point, no way to know that this was the voice of God he was hearing. Samuel wasn't a young boy, a child, but he was still growing in his faith and in his knowledge of God. He was still very much being guided by the priest Eli as he served in the temple. And so I have to wonder who has guided or is guiding us. Who helps you make sense of what you think you heard God say? Who helps you navigate the path of where you think God is calling you to go? Friends, and if you feel like you hear the voice of God perfectly clear, then the question becomes, who are you guiding in the ways of God? A semi-alert Samuel runs to Eli saying, "Here I am." And after three rounds of this call and response, Eli sees what's going on. Now catch that, church. Eli, whose eyesight is growing dim, can still see when the Spirit is moving. Eli can still see when God is about to blow your mind, when God is about to come through with a plan that will make ears tingle, the text says. Eli can still see the power of God at work. So Eli instructs Samuel, go back and lie down. And when the voice calls again, say, here I am. Speak, for your servant is listening. And now before we get to the speech, before we get to what God said, we need to remember that the word of God was rare in this time, the text says. The visions of God were rare. The people were having a hard time hearing from the heavens. I have to wonder if they were in a pandemic, if they were in the midst of civil unrest. I wonder if they were experiencing a leadership crisis. Now, we don't know if it was a pandemic or not, but the text does say that there's about to be a leadership change. History does tell us that they were experiencing religious and political corruption, so the people were spiritually empty. Folks were sick and tired of being sick and tired, so there was all manner of social unrest. No, friends, this is not a new book of the Bible. It wasn't written in 2020, although it certainly sounds like it could have been. As usual, the world was a mess. There was so much chaos for God to hover over, for God to redeem, so much chaos for God to make sense of. And now things are about to change. There is a time for everything, a time for every activity under the heaven, a time to plant and uproot, a time to tear down, and a time to build. So God tells Samuel that the priestly house of Eli is about to be torn down so he can build his kingdom. God tells Samuel that the priestly house of Eli is about to be judged. And although Eli has been faithful, his sons have not. His sons have been reckless leaders. They have been uncontrollable. Now stay with me, because I know it's hard for us to imagine reckless and uncontrollable leaders. But in my biblical imagination, I can just see God stepping in and shutting down their Twitter accounts. I can hear the Lord saying, you know what? Y'all have made your last viral TikTok up in my temple. You will not be flexing for the gram today. This is holy ground. In my biblical imagination, I can hear God borrowing a phrase from grown folk back in the day, whose kids, when they were misbehaving, those parents would say, oh, I got something for that. Eli might not be able to control his sons, but God's got something for that. The God who casts down leaders and raises leaders up will punish them and raise up Samuel as a leader. Friends, it sounds like they're getting ready for an inauguration just like us. There's about to be new leadership. There's about to be a shift in power. Can somebody say amen? Now, before we move too far, too fast, I need you to know that this is not the first time God has warned Eli's house about punishment. But in the past, there has always been this possibility of a survivor, a successor from his family line. Not so today. God says, I'm cleaning house. I had hoped to find a remnant. I had hoped to find even one who was faithful, but not so. And so God elevates Samuel, a young man who has lived in the temple since he was weaned from his mother's breast. God elevates Hannah's baby, the baby she prayed for, the baby she wept for, the baby she deliriously sought God for. God elevates Hannah's baby, the baby she desired so much, wanted to have so desperately, but didn't even enjoy him because she dedicated him to God. Can you imagine? This child Hannah prayed for would become Israel's prophet, priest, and judge. Can you imagine that the answers to
your prayers might actually be the answer to someone else's prayers. Can you imagine that the calling God is placing on your heart today might not even be about you at all? It might not be about your passions, your dreams, your desires. It might not be about your plans or your will. The call on your life just might be about someone else's life. Hannah's call to motherhood gives birth to future leadership. Hannah's prayer provides for the priest Eli and for all of Israel. If we read back in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we will see that Hannah was worshiping and praying at the temple where two of Eli's sons served. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, we see that Eli saw Hannah praying and overcome with emotion. And Eli, the priest, accused her of being drunk at the altar. Friends, have you ever heard of church hurt? People leave the church because of stuff like that. People leave the church because pastors and priests accused and abused them instead of encouraged them. People leave churches because members bombard them with stares and stones instead of making them feel at home. That's church hurt. This priest, Eli, accuses her of being drunk, and when she explains, "No, I'm praying," and when she tells him why she's praying and what she's praying for, he did come around, and he offered her a blessing. "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked." Friends, Eli didn't need a son at the time Hannah was praying, so I know he couldn't imagine that her blessing would become his blessing. Eli didn't need a son at the time Hannah was praying, and still, at the set time, in God's divine time, her child became the child Eli needed, and moreover, the servant God needed. Friends, if we really understood that, then somebody would rethink their prayer list today. Somebody would rethink their prayer practices. If we really got that, somebody would be praying without ceasing. We would be praying much bigger prayers. If we really understood, somebody would ask God for more today. We would ask God for more, not for us, but so that someone else's tomorrow would be blessed. We would ask God for more today so that future problems would already have solutions waiting for them. If we really understood the power of prayer, somebody would call on the name of the Lord, because God's word is still true. And I stopped by to tell you that God is standing in the temple of our homes this morning, at our bedsides while we snooze. God is cozying up on the couch with us and taking a seat at the kitchen table just to say to us, as God said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel. I am about to do something that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." Tingle. There should be some excitement, y'all. There should be some anticipation today, because God is doing a new thing. Friends, what miracles and blessings are you anticipating in 2021? And even if you can't dream something for yourself, I wonder, what can you imagine for the world? What word is God speaking to you that will make ears tingle? And if you can't hear the Lord so clearly, I invite you to find yourself an Eli, somebody to prayerfully listen alongside you and help you hear from God. Because God is still at work. And that, friends, means God still wants some co-laborers. Doesn't need our help, but wants our help. Because God is still working, that means God still has an assignment for us. God is still waiting for us to answer. "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." In his sermon, "Remaining Awake Through a Great Revolution," Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. warns us. He says, "One of the great liabilities of life is that all too many people find themselves living amid a great period of social change, and yet they fail to develop the new attitudes, new mental responses that the new situation demands. They end up sleeping through a revolution. Friends, I pray we are not sleeping through a revolution. I pray we're not too sleepy to hear God speaking, too tired to rise from our baptismal waters and get to work. I pray that we're not the kind of disciples who sleep on the job. I pray we're not snoozing when God is trying to use us. Church, I pray that we are eagerly answering the call, like the disciples in John, the first chapter. Well, most of the disciples. In fact, I pray that we are seeking Jesus like Andrew was. He was one of those disciples searching out for Jesus after John pointed him out. A close reading of John 1 shows us that not even John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. Verse 29 through 34, John testifies that the Spirit had shown him how Jesus would be anointed and told him, "The one you see the dove, the one you see the Spirit remain on, that is the Messiah." And so John learned right alongside Israel who the chosen one, who the chosen Messiah was. And he immediately began to send his students to learn from the teacher. He began to send his disciples to walk with Jesus. And so these disciples were following Jesus when the Lord turned and asked them what they wanted. Friends, I don't know if you ever get tongue-tied when it's time to name your needs. I don't know if you ever stutter or stammer a little bit through the sensitive request or simply find some things too hard to say. When Jesus asks you, "What do you want?" how do you reply? When Jesus asks, "What do you want this year? What do you want on the job and in your home? What do you want for your family, for yourself? What do you want your life to stand for?" what do you say? These disciples didn't answer the question, "What do you want?" Instead, they ask, "Where are you staying?" They ask for access. They didn't know what we know. They didn't know that Jesus would soon teach, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." They hadn't heard that word yet, but they knew they didn't want to be apart from him. Oh, what if that was our prayer today? What do you want? To be where your Spirit is. What do you want to be with you, Lord? What do you want to be in your will? What do you want to know where you're staying? To them and to us, Christ says, "Come and see. Follow me." Our text begins with Jesus finding another disciple, Philip, and saying, "Follow me." And Philip does. And then he immediately gets to evangelizing, witnessing. He goes and tells Nathaniel, "We have found the Messiah. Come and see." But you know, there's always one. Nathaniel was a skeptic. He was snoozing, sleeping on Jesus even. Nathaniel judged Jesus in a situation saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" My, my, my. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I imagine someone looked at me at some point and thought, "Can anything good come out of Studywood with drugs and people being sold on your block?" Someone might have looked at you and thought, "Can anything good come out of Southgate? Can anything good come out of Bryan? Can anything good come out of that little farm town you grew up in? Can anything good come out of a single parent home? Can anything good come out of the foster care system?" I stop by to tell you, when God called you beloved, it was not up for discussion. It was not up for a vote. When God said over our lives, "You are my beloved in whom I am well pleased," it was not conditional. It was not based on our background or where our story began. Our status as God's beloved is based only on God's love. And this is the good news, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that proves God's love toward us. While we were rejecting Jesus like Nathaniel, Jesus was embracing us. And so as they approach one another, Jesus says, "Here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." While Nathaniel is hurling insults, Jesus calls him holy. Jesus sees him and us as God hopes we will be, as God created us to be. This is an example of how we are seen through Christ's righteousness. Nathaniel asks, "How do you know me?" And Jesus says, "I saw you sitting under the fig tree before I called you." I saw you before I called you. If we could only learn to trust that God saw us before God called us. God saw us in our sin and all our wretchedness under our fig trees. If we could just trust that God sees and knows everything about us and loves us still. If only we could learn to see what God sees. And so Jesus speaks right into Nathaniel's needs. He gives an affirming word to the skeptic in Nathaniel and all of us. He speaks directly to our insecurities. And though we are unworthy, he offers an invitation. Come and see. Follow me. Lord, help us to be willing to come and see when you call. Empower us to invite others to come and see. Because someone is waiting to get to know God through what we say about God. Someone is waiting to see him through our testimony. Someone is waiting for our witness. Come and see how he healed me. Come and see how he blessed me. Come and see how he provided for me. Come and see how he stood between me and insanity. Come and see how he stood between me and death. Imagine that the calling God is placing on your heart today might not be about you at all. It might not be about your passions, your dreams, your desires. The call God is whispering to you today might not be about your plans and your will. The call on your life just might be about someone else's life. The call on your life today just might be about the work you're called to do to help the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Someone is waiting. Someone is waiting for us to stop snoozing so God can use us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.